You're listening to Tech Talk Radio in your backyard and worldwide on the pod.
I don't think anyone should think this is a license to continue to breach copyright. iiNet is not responsible for stopping it.
There's no real demand for censorship of the internet in Australia. There's no other country in the Western world, at least, that's trying anything like this.
Netflix aren't better at anything, but we think we've got something, and we call it the iPad.
And today, we're delighted to be present at the creation of digital radio in Australia.
Senator Conroy is completely botching the implementation of this filtering policy of his.
For adults who want to be able to watch the other material, we're not proposing to do that.
On air, on the internet, and on the pod, you're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. I'm Andrew McCollum, and welcome to the 295th edition of Tech Talk Radio. Competition in the marketplace is truly a wonderful thing. Thanks to the new determination of Telstra, chances are, right now, you're enjoying considerably more broadband bandwidth at a price that is less than what you previously paid. Most of the top ISPs have rejigged their offerings to compete with the incumbent, and on the downside, it could potentially put smaller ISPs out of business. I guess that's the dog-eat-dog reality of the commercial world we now live in. Now it's Google's turn to get in on the act, as Australian Gmail users may have noticed in the past week. Google now allows Gmail users the ability to download a small application and start making phone calls to the local Australian market for just 2 cents a call and 14 cents per minute to mobiles. That's US dollars. Australians who have their Gmail language set to English US are able to use the Google Voice plugin for Gmail to make calls using the microphone on their computer, a service which will no doubt put pressure on existing VoIP providers such as Skype. Your account starts with a 10-cent credit, which can be topped up as needed, a clever incentive to go out and try it, just as I did during the week. The call quality was surprisingly good. In fact, it was better, in my opinion, than traditional PSTN calls. Calls and texts to the US and Canada numbers are free, with very low rates to calls to phones in other countries. Google announced that over 1 million calls were placed using Gmail's free calling service in its first 24 hours. It should be noted that only outgoing calls would work for Australia, as incoming calls require the Google Voice application, which has not yet been made available to Australians. In the US, people who obtain a free phone number from Google can receive calls on their PC. As for a mobile version, not yet. Outgoing calls can only be made via Gmail on users' computers. The service is likely to be a real threat to services like Skype, more so than traditional phone companies. With a few free credits, it's worth a try. All you have to do is download the app, open Gmail, click on the call phone option in their buddy chat list in Gmail and type in the number or enter a contact's name. With Google's wave now dead in the water, maybe the search giant has turned its attention to the traditional marketplace. If nothing else, it will certainly rekindle interest in Gmail and give them an even bigger edge over their competitors Microsoft, Yahoo, and now Skype. If this sort of benefit to consumers is a result of competition, bring it on, I say.
This week on Tech Talk Radio.
Google gives Skype a poke with a red-hot poker. Adam Turner looks at the pros and cons of catch-up TV in Australia. The ANZ Bank release an iPhone app. XCOM goes belly up. Garmin recalls GPS units which catch fire. And Windsor tells Gillard to reveal the true cost of the NBN. First up, though, here's Dr. Ron with the latest from the Tech Talk News Desk.
This is Tech Talk News.
This week on Tech Talk News, the Australian Federal Police criticises Facebook after arrests are made for child exploitation offences. The National Broadband Network is emerging as a hot topic in negotiations with the independent MPs. Victorian police officers are sacked over inappropriate email use, and Google clearly has its sights set on Telstra and Optus. Welcome to Tech Talk News. 11 people have been arrested, including 3 Australians, as part of an international investigation into a child exploitation ring which used the social network Facebook to distribute child abuse images. The arrests include 6 in Great Britain, 3 in Australia, and 2 in Canada. In a joint statement with Facebook, the Australian Federal Police said investigations were continuing. The AFP's Assistant Commissioner for High-Tech Crime, Mr Neil Gawn.
We had a number of people in this particular group that were using a number of different Facebook profiles, group accounts and email addresses to download and distribute vile images of people being abused, and also shared some things on homepage walls as well.
But the AFP has criticised Facebook on the basis that it had been deactivating the Facebook profiles of suspects, but not passing the information on to police. Chief Security Officer for Facebook, Mr Joe Sullivan.
We started working on this matter last December. Some of the profiles came to our attention through our internal investigations. We have a standard protocol that we follow whenever we find this type of offensive material. Because our data is stored in the United States, the protocol we've set up with law enforcement around the world is that we make reports to an organization called the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children.
Facebook and the AFP held talks last week and agreed to do more to improve the flow of information to law enforcement agencies. A member of Facebook's security team will visit Australia in September for workshops aimed at bringing together child safety advocates. The government's $47 billion national broadband network is emerging as a key issue in negotiations between the main political parties and the three independents. 1 week after Australians went to the polls, the country is still in caretaker government mode. But the question of how to provide high-speed internet to all Australian families and businesses is a key discussion point. The independents are all keen on improving internet speeds and access. The chairman of the Competitive Carriers Coalition, Mr. Matt Healy, represents all Australian telcos except Optus and Telstra. He spoke on government radio last week and said that there were two aspects of the coalition's policy which appeared deficient.
One is in relation to the use of fibre. So the coalition's policy relied upon wireless outside of metro areas. But the other part of the policy that was missing is really about promoting competition. Our sector is suffering from Telstra's structure, which basically means that Telstra is the main provider of services to wholesalers and competitors is also the main competitor.
CBIT Technology News noted that Labor's comprehensive policy had proven reach throughout each of the three independents' electorates, while the coalition's plan did not. But Liberal Senator Mr. Nick Minchin said last week that the coalition's broadband policy was more economically responsible and therefore rightfully the more attractive option to the three independents. More than 30 Victorian police officers are being investigated over the alleged circulation of racist and pornographic material using the police email system. Officers have faced disciplinary hearings, four have been dismissed, two have been demoted, and a number of others have been disciplined. Another two police officers have since resigned. Victoria Police says that investigations into a number of other members are continuing. Chief Commissioner of Police Simon Overland said that the emails in question were of an extreme nature.
The material that we're talking about generally is of a serious nature, and I think if the community were to become aware of the exact detail, it would cause significant concern.
The Police Association Secretary, Senior Sergeant Greg Davies, said that the matters were extremely serious, but that the officers involved represented less than 0.3% of the state's serving members.
We're talking about approximately 30 members involved in this. There are, of course, about 11,500 police officers, so it's hardly a pandemic. If a similar-sized organisation somewhere else in Australia had 30 out of 11,500 employees being looked at for internal discipline reasons, it wouldn't raise an eyebrow.
Victoria Police said it would continue to audit its email system to detect any emails of concern and would work to educate its members and remind them of their responsibilities regarding the appropriate use of email. And Australians who have their Gmail language set to English US can now use the Google Voice plugin for Gmail to make telephone calls. The service launched last week in the United States and lets users start with a 10 US cent credit, which can be topped up using a credit card. Calls and text messages to the US and Canada are free, with very low rates for calls to other countries. Calls to Australian numbers are charged at 2 US cents per minute to landlines and 14 US cents to mobiles. Google said last week that over 1 million calls were placed using Gmail's free calling service in its first 24 hours of operation. I'm Dr. Ron, and that's your tech update for this week.
Previously on Tech Talk Radio.
The hung parliament result.
What did you make of all of that?
It says I'm supposed to be able to do it, but whenever I try, I end up going round and round in circles.
Well, that's the price of change, isn't it?
Mm.
If you're listening to us on a podcast, just disregard everything
this
we're
could,
just...
This could all change by the time you hear it.
Didn't the pollies look fantastic in their up-res, standard def to high def looking pictures?
Forget about 9's channel. Go! We've now got 7, mate!
That says something, doesn't it?
We're talking to Tim Sincotta, Managing Director of Takeout.com.
Makes sense. You can buy everything else online nowadays. Why not a pizza or Indian or takeaway in general?
Just a creature of habit, really. You have to get into the new way of ordering things.
A seriously abbreviated train, but it runs down the middle of the road.
I sent out a tweet for that. Got retweeted all over the place.
They're making fun of me in the chat for being indecisive.
Entertaining, informative, and independent. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio. The panel on Tech Talk Radio.
It must be that time of the week again. We're all sitting in this strange room again. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Tech Talk Radio. Dr. Ron, welcome back.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. It's great to be back.
Yes.
And well done on last week with Dr. Graham. You did a good job.
Yeah.
And I had to listen from the stream on my mobile phone, on my Android device. I was using a program called Stream Furious.
I thought you were furious. Maybe I misread that SMS that you sent in the middle of the show, which went off in the studio.
You read it as Dr. Ron listening to the stream.
Furious. Correct.
No. I was listening to Stream Furious, and it sounded really good.
Oh, very good.
Yes.
So, and JD, Justin is in this evening.
I'm back.
Yes. Yeah. Is this another cameo role? Is this a passing visit? Or?
It might well be.
Anyway, we've missed all the gossip and goings on of the wonderful world of Cupertino.
Of Steve.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, there must be lots to catch up with. And, of course, my old sparring partner from last week, Graham over there in the corner. Graham and I have elected to take next weekend off and give the show to these two boys and see if they can...
Dr. Ron and Jace and JD only...
I think it'd be good, wouldn't it?
Oh, look out, world. Yeah. It would be scary.
Absolutely.
Anyway, I dare you not
okay.
to come.
Okay, all right, you're on. We'll have the weekend off. I don't tell the girls that. They'll go, all right.
You'll still go out Monday night. Just go to the boozer or something. And
now, there's a thought.
Have a listen on with the... on the little transistor radio at
this idea is getting better and better.
I'm doing one of these on we could go and sit in the pub across the road and get on the chat and come up as
virtual rocks.
Yeah that's the one. Anyway, chat.techtalkradio.com.au if you'd like to come along and join us and have a say hello and do things like that, or you can use that all expenses paid feedback number which we're using, which is 03 8682 8836. Say hello then, we'll put you to air.
8682 8836.
It's our version of TalkBack. And if you use the new version of Gmail, you can actually call it for 2 cents.
2 US cents per minute?
Yeah.
Isn't that great? That's
I used it on the weekend. That's why I wrote a bit about it. I thought it was really good. It was really crystal clear.
Was it? Was there much of a delay?
No.
And obviously you've called an Australian landline number, have you?
Yeah. Yep. I did some tests around the house. I called home and we just, used the normal phone in the home and did some comparisons. It was really good. Very impressed. Then I tried ringing you and you hung up on me.
No, I never got the call. I wouldn't hang up on you. Come on.
I thought, what's this funny number that's calling me? I'm going to hang up on them.
No, I
would have.
I didn't get it. I got the text message complaining that I hung up on you. I thought, what's all that about?
You've
got to set your language in Gmail to US English. Is that right?
Okay. Yeah, something like that. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Okay, sorry.
I think that'll be good.
Jumping ahead.
We're going to have a bit of a chat. But yeah, other than that, I'm a bit over elections at the moment. I don't know about you. It's sort of a bit of a non-event now, isn't it?
It is, isn't it?
We're sort of all getting psyched up to either have or not have an NBN, and now there's four.
We still don't know.
We still don't know, and probably will never know, especially if they do a deal or something like that. But anyway, we can all be cynical and wear our hats.
I've got a fantastic website for you.
Of the week or
no,
for now?
No, just now. Okay. I'm just trying to remember it off the top of my head, and I'm typing random words and things into web browsers. Does Australia have a government yet.com?
Oh, no.
Fantastic.
I saw that.
Did you?
Did you send that to me? Mad Lids did that. Lydia Davis in Palo Alto.
I saw it on Warlock, who's in the chat tonight. Hello, Warlock. I think on his Facebook wall, and I thought, what a great one. Does Australia have a government?
It's just a big black page.
And Graham, the answer is?
The answer is no at the moment.
Does it have a little feed of the current trend? Or?
Yes, if you have a look at the source on that page, I think you can actually email the page creator when we do have a government, and he'll update it for us.
Really? I wonder if it's coming from within.
He's not planning to update it anytime soon then.
It's not .gov.au, it's just .com. But you never know with these things, do you?
Tony Abbott's in our chat tonight. We should ask him. He's got one extra seat now
Don't know what he's going to do with it, but he's got one extra seat. 74, I think, hasn't he?
And have a party.
Or 73 to 72. Oh, I've lost count. Who? Must admit, I'm going to miss the Chaser. Did you guys see the Chaser during the course of the election? Yes, we Canberra. Very funny television. Not fit for radio, but very funny television. Anyway, Coro, Dr. Ron, you've got plenty because you weren't here. You've held it over.
A stockpile it.
We tried to get through Coro last week. I don't know what happened, Graham. It just didn't happen for us.
We got sidetracked along the way.
I think we never
got back to it.
Anyway, so off you go, son.
Our illustrious moderator and longtime friend of the panel, GD. Now, GD's logged in tonight. Mod, he's there in the chat room.
He is, and he's very close to an NBN port because he's dreaming of greener fields.
GD says, hi, guys. Hi, GD.
Hi, GD.
I finally have an internode connection. It took a little longer than anticipated, but the modem router arrived yesterday, and I was very impressed at how smoothly the connection went.
Now, he's come off cable, hasn't he?
He has.
He's on the HFC cable.
He's recently moved to the People's Republic of Brunswick, he told us last time, and he's been waiting for his
NBN
internet
land.
Yeah, to be relocated. He says he'll be available to moderate on Monday night, which is tonight. I've been downloading the pods. So thanks, GC, for your great work.
And he's back.
From GD. And he's back. He's in the chat room, and he's moderating away.
Good.
Very good. Danny, via the TTR contact form, says, hi. Hi, Danny. In last week's program, I heard one of your colleagues or friends in South Morang already registered with the NBN.
Yes, this is true. This is Brian in the office.
And is waiting to be connected. Brian at Tech Talk Radio headquarters.
That's right.
I recently moved to South Morang, and I'm waiting to get a broadband connection. Can you let me know how to get registered with the NBN? Is it through an ISP?
Yes.
Yes. You can't register directly. It's an NBN.
They're a wholesaler.
Only. Yeah.
Yeah.
If so, which ISP?
Internode.
iiNet. They're out there. iiNet's going. Look at the little top left-hand corner of the page. There's a little red ticker. Just click the NBN thing. Or even just search for NBN on their page.
My tip would be go to Internode first and have a look there.
Yeah.
And
shop around.
Hold them up as the gold standard and see if you can beat them.
Very good, Danny. Hope that's answered your question. He says, I listen to your program on podcast every week on my iPhone.
Yay.
On the way to and back from work and love it. Best wishes. Keep up the good work. Thanks, Danny. Hope that helps you. Glenn, via the TTR contact form, says... Is it?
I don't know.
I don't know?
No, I don't.
Too late, she cried, waving her wooden leg. The City of Perth parking meters in the WA capital already have credit card slots. Now, you'll recall...
This is Mark Diggins's
email
that he sent across. Yes.
That's it. I received intelligence from Mark Diggins, and he spoke about new parking meters that accepted credit cards. Yes, says Glenn, these are those lollipop-style meters at the side of a busy road, not ticket machines. We saw them on St George's Terrace, for those that know Perth. Yes, I know Perth. Glenn, and I know St George's Terrace. Much like the credit card accepting vending machines, I suspect they won't have the surcharges, as the councils will save far more on collection costs. We tried an Amex card, but it didn't seem to accept it, so we never found out what the surcharges actually were. Regards, Glenn. Thank you for the update, Glenn. So I was ranting and raving about these new devices in the Americas, and we've got them here in
Perth. Yeah, they've been here for a little while, actually, I think.
Have they?
Only in Perth, or have you seen them
in other places?
I've
seen them in Melbourne.
They're probably... How's that going to work for the meter maids in Queensland?
I've seen them in Queensland too.
They come along with their own personalised credit card and they give it a swipe instead of putting a few shekels in the meter.
I guess so.
Don't talk about meter maids, then Microsoft are going to be upset.
We've got Microsoft on the show very shortly.
Is that a Microsoft term?
Yes.
No. Microsoft got in trouble for having meter maids attend their tech ed function in Brisbane.
Ah.
Why did they get into trouble?
Queensland.
And who with?
Well, with
that would be very distracting for the type of people that would go to a Microsoft conference, I would imagine.
Well, the meter maids in Queensland, they are very, very scantily clad young women who go around putting coins in meters for people.
So people don't get parking tickets.
And Microsoft thought that this would be a good idea to have, or someone at Microsoft thought this would be a good idea to have attend their tech ed conference up there. But, yes, apparently there were complaints that having scantily clad women wandering around the function was somewhat inappropriate, particularly in light of the fact that part of the aim of the conference was to discuss issues for women in IT.
Is that what Warlock says? Microsoft had a conference about women in it. Capital letters, women in IT.
Women in IT.
Some full stops would have been good. Yeah.
Come on, Warlock, lift.
So,
punctuation,
yes, there was all sorts of... Microsoft initially said they didn't know what the costumes were going to be, and then the meter maids came back and they said, well, we spent 2 weeks with Microsoft getting the costumes approved, and they chose the ones they wanted, so...
Okay, well, back to the hard-hitting issues of the day, which is your parking meter. Freaking Our Chat has said that they even have special parking bays around here, wherever here is. Tell us where you are, freak. In some spots which have sensors to tell you whether or not you've moved. Now, that's got to be damn right dirty, isn't it?
Doncaster shopping town up the road. Quite a few new shopping centres now have a light system that says whether there's a vacant car park or not.
Now, that's handy. That works.
That's all right.
Using it for parking fines is below the belt, I think.
Oh, this is to say you've extended more than your hour. You've fed the meter and okay.
Whilst on the subject of parking,
they have sensors under the road, and if you stay there for more than 2 hours,
do they do a little loop under the road? Is it?
Yeah, and they send an SMS to the parking guy to say, "Look, there's a guy who's kidding."
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is this a Doncaster?
No, this is in some other places in the world.
Oh.
The one in Doncaster just used to say, "Oh, there's."
That's our local shopping centre here in our broadcast area.
Go up to the next level. There's parking spaces up there. So,
when I was in the United,
don't get me started on that. There's 273 car parks upstairs, but it's actually upstairs and across the passage and three blocks away.
When I was in the United States recently, I went to Cupertino to check out the Apple Store, as you do, tourist attraction. Mm. They've got a lot of invalid parking spots out the front. We park there because we're PC people. We figured that was okay.
You're politically correct people.
Yes.
Yeah, but they're disabled in the way of Apple. Yeah.
No, so we had PC, so we could park there. Yes. Anyway.
TD on the TCR forum.
TD.
Says, hi all. Hi TD. I'm close to buying a smartphone, and I'm keen on the HTC Desire. I've listened to the comments over the past weeks on TTR about the phone, and I'm thinking it might be right for me. Does anyone know if it is available from a carrier other than Telstra? My understanding is that the Telstra-flavoured HTC works reasonably well with some minor irritations. However, I'm not convinced the Telstra offerings are the best value for money. I would welcome any views or comments. Andrew, are you in a position to tell us about the HTC Desire?
You emailed me this during the course of the week, and I had a bit of a quick glimpse as it went past. I'm just unfortunately been a bit time-challenged of late.
Adam's popped a reply up on the forum, but have you got anything to add?
I do. Look, yes, there are two flavours of the HTC Desire. There's a international flavour, which is a non-Telstra flavour, and there is the T-Shop version, which you can buy at your local T-Shop. I think they're about $780 or $820 or something outright to buy. Now, from an operational point of view, they are fairly identical, apart from the fact you'll get some branding on the Telstra one, which you find very hard to get rid of. But from my reading and discovery, the Telstra HTC has its own ROM in it, which means it's set up and basically customised to use Telstra, which is a really good thing if you are a Telstra customer. Buy the Telstra one, because great phone, already set up and works there. Now, the other interesting thing which I have noticed,
particularly if you're the sort of Telstra customer that uses the Telstra extra services, so if you've got a Big Pond email address and you use all those sorts of extra Telstra things,
using the Telstra services, it works very well. If you want to use services outside of Telstra, you're going to have a challenge on your hands.
Well, it's just going to pop up a few extra things in your way. It's going to direct you towards the Telstra side of things. Yeah.
Now, apart from that, I actually ended up getting the international version. I didn't want the branded one with Telstra. And as a result, I've had no issues whatsoever plugging any SIM card in it from any network, and it just works. There is one thing I would say, and that is, if you're a country person and you like travelling out into the 850 meg next G countryside, which is what Telstra is very famous for, you will be disappointed if you buy an international version of the HTC. It seems to have inside of it a different RF set. So it's really designed for
RF?
Yeah, radio frequency.
That's the radio stuff inside it.
And it makes it very clear on the box that it will only do HSPA, which is the high-speed packet access you need for NextG, on 2100 meg. Yep. Whereas the Australian version from Telstra works on 850 meg. That's a very much a physical difference which you can't do anything about software-wise. So keep that in mind. If you're in the city, your city slicker, then go the...
And if you're a Telstra user, if your SIM card is a Telstra SIM card, then you'll probably want the Telstra one.
Yeah.
Adam's post on the forum is along the lines of, look, I think either version is okay, but make sure you don't buy the next G one if you want to use it with someone other than Telstra.
I'd agree with that. Yeah.
So if you want to have a look at the post in detail, and there's a couple of links there, go to our forum, which is at forum.techtalkradio.com.au. Follow your nose through the index to tech and then help requests, and you'll see the topic there.
If I can just add, they're a terrific phone. It's got the 1 gigahertz Snapdragon processor in it. It actually handles everything that's been thrown at it. And one thing that being an iPhone user, and also being an HTC Droid user, they are both incredibly different beasts. And Along the lines that you would expect, I've noticed that if you want everything done for you, the iPhone is a great thing. Go to the App Store, download your app, it just works. If you want to tinker, play under the hood like you would if you're a PC user, your chances are you'll probably find the Droid or the HTC phones with Android on it is the one for you.
Freak on our Tech Talk Radio forum says, hi guys. No, he doesn't. He says, hey guys. Hey Freak. I've recently heard about a new technology which will supersede USB 3.0 by the looks of it. It's called LightPeak. Mm. As I was checking it out, I found this interesting article which claims that Intel...
Don't tell Tony Abbott.
...has created an even faster technology for transferring data. LightPeak has already reached transfer speeds of 10 gigabits per second.
Oh, that's fast.
But this new technology is called Silicon Photonics Link. They have managed to achieve 50 gigabits per second transfer speeds. I just thought it was quite amazing, as I've been hanging out for USB 3.0 systems to come out for ages.
What's happening with that?
And it's already been superseded. He says, I may wait and see with the LightPeak technology, which should be out this year sometime. If you're interested, check it out here. Again, on the forum, if you follow your nose to the forum, Freak's got a link under Tech, New and Interesting Devices and Gadgets. And he's got a conversation, a thread running there.
Speaking of new gadgets... Did you, Graham, was seething before? Because you remember how last week, or the week before actually, we did some Next G tests here in the studio on the U-Bute Super Deluxe Fast Card that Graham's got?
Yeah.
I bought the world's fastest
not
USB
anymore.
Modem.
Not anymore. What? Telstra today launched their 42 megabit per second card on the market, little blue flat number, complete with YouTube video singing its virtues. If you saw have a look at the media page on the Telstra website. Interesting device. They still only got 10 megabits per second down, though.
So we can see high-quality YouTube images of cats caught in ceiling fans and all that good stuff.
Is that what you do on YouTube?
That's what YouTube's used for, isn't it? You know, like good, wholesome
stuff. I must admit, I'm a bit of a Vimeo person myself, but we won't go there.
That's all the correspondence, Andrew. Feedback at techtalkradio.com.au. If you want to email us any sort of feedback, we'll read it out on air.
Thanks. Okay. I was just having a bit of a look at the Telstra site. Australians now have access to the world's fastest mobile broadband service with launch of the Telstra Ultimate USB modem. Yes, typical download speeds ranging from 1.1 meg to 20 megabits per second.
Does this mean they'll never release another one? If this one's the ultimate one.
The ultimate, yes.
Then they can never release a new one.
It's a bit like a radio station saying all new, isn't it?
Well, no. Because ultimate
How can you be new again if you're a new
radio store closing down or...
Okay. So, obviously, we'll get some Tech Talk people. I reckon Adam will probably get one to do a road test on, and he can come in and tell us all about
and
it.
And I suppose I may as well just throw that one out. It's useless now.
No good now.
Can I have it? It's about three times faster than my ADSL at home. might hang on to that. Graham, good work.
We've got webcams tonight.
We've got webcams.
Back.
Yeah, we're on television. Ustream.tv/TechTalkRadioAU and click on the Go to Show page link thing.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show.
Tech Talk Radio.
He can't even figure out how to take the lid off it. He's
still going.
is it at work? So I don't know. Break it. The lid's come off now. See what's happened? So that looks like a USB connector to me.
Is this what happens? The segments roll over the breakers now, don't they?
I'll hold it up to the webcam. There's my new USB stick that Graham's throwing in the bin. Wacko, I say. Is there a SIM card in there somewhere? That's what that little slot
there.
Yeah,
there's a SIM card in there. There's also a micro SD.
Micro SD. Wow. That's great. I'll have to
keep
it
in your iPad.
Is it?
You can't really keep it. I don't really need to hang on to it.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Comes with a free account.
I was just being
facetious. Theatrical. No, it can't plug into your iPad, Andrew.
The little micro SIM?
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh, the micro SIM might be able to. I thought you meant the USB connector.
No, I thought you said he has a micro SIM in it.
No, micro SD.
Oh, SD.
Memory card.
Sorry. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about what happened during the course of the week. We alluded to the fact of that we've got a fairly ho-hum electoral political system at the moment, and who knows whether we'll end up having a government in the short term, long term, or whether we'll all go back to the polls again in a few weeks' time. Just quietly, I'm sort of thinking, let's just go back to the polls and be done with it. Everyone change their vote. I think it's got to be a much more interesting outcome than having a few politicians running around sort of spruiking their wares of what they may or may not do. But the big question is really about the NBN. We've spoken in depth on this show about it. And it's really coming down to what the independents want. Now, a lot of the independents are country guys, Bob Catter in Queensland. Well, actually, we've got the whole country really covered, haven't we? All the way down to Tassie now. We've got a new Tassie independent who basically ended up winning the seat of Denison during the course of the week. But anyway, his name's Andrew Wilkie, and he met up with Julia Gillard and
Julia,
and Mr. Rabbit,
our Prime Minister,
and our wannabe Prime Minister, Mr. Rabbit. And anyway, he basically ended up winning the seat, and he's a bit of an advocate for the NBN, which I guess also concurs with what we talked about last week, Graham, on the program, how those votes in NBN-related seats in Tasmania were very, very pro-government, very pro-Labor.
All of these, it's an interesting situation because all of these independent guys are kind of National Party oriented. They're mostly former National Party members, which would normally line them up with the coalition. But on this issue, they're very pro the NBN. So
there is a reason why they're not with the National Party anymore.
Well, I'm guessing that's part of it. Yes, because obviously the Labor Party's plan for the for broadband for the country is much more country friendly than the Liberals' plan.
Well, it's emerging as a key issue, isn't it? It's a hot topic.
It really is. It always has been a key issue.
Yeah.
I just don't think a lot of voters have really understood the ramifications of one technology over another.
It's good that some of the members of Parliament actually do understand that there's a big difference in the policies there. So,
Well, anyway, we've got a new independent, Andrew Wilkie, as we said, and in an interview with ABC State Line program, Mr. Wilkie said he backed Labor on broadband but did not necessarily support the party on other issues. And I guess that's the joys about being an independent because they're all pretty much along the same.
Wouldn't it be nice if we ended up with the sort of parliament where things didn't always go through on the nod along party lines, but where members of parliament actually voted according to how they really felt about issues.
And policies were actually debated.
Debate on policies and things being passed on their merits or not.
It'll never happen.
Well,
I don't know. It's as close as we've ever come to it happening.
Yeah, this is the sort of thing that will prompt it to happen. The sorts of parliaments that they have in Europe a lot of other places in the world, where
they have to actually debate policy and come to a sensible agreement, like Graham's saying. You don't just get the nod from everybody and get stuff
through.
Where
they're going to throw mud for the first half hour and then go and have a break and a cup of tea.
Well, look, it's going to be interesting. The other thing that we might benefit from is that the independents appear to be pro-NBN in that they're representing the constituents in their electorates, and there's more than one who's actually said, no, I'm not going to make a decision for the benefit of all Australians. I'm going to make a decision which is going to benefit the people that have voted for me.
Who said that?
There's been a couple. This one, I know, Bobcat was one, I think.
Yeah.
Bobcatter.
Down came a Jumbuck.
That's it, yeah.
Drink at the Billabong. Did you say that in a chase? I can't say any more on radio. And look an eye view.
What I think you'll find is that we're going to reap the benefits of them making decisions which are pro-NBN. They're going to say, yes, we want high-speed broadband to our constituents. We want a reliable backbone and reliable infrastructure into these regional electorates. And the rest of Australia is going to benefit from that.
We know that. It's just getting it across to people like Tony Rabbit and the Wi-Fi people, the people that think Wi-Fi is the answer to our dilemmas in the bush, which it sadly isn't, unfortunately. But the question I think that needs to be asked is, what's going to happen to the NBN while we're in this limbo period? If you've seen that great film, which has all those different periods of time running succinctly, what's it called? Can't think of the name of it, with DiCaprio in it.
Inception.
That's it, Inception, that was the word. I was going to come up with a word, but I wasn't going to say it until, yeah. But
do you think that the current state of federal politics is like the
they
Inception?
They have limbo, yeah, because there's a limbo state at the fourth time down, whatever it is, in Inception. And this is where we're at in politics.
I hope we don't go four elections deep. That'd be horrid.
No, someone just has to push someone and then we'll come back up to the top.
It would be like being in a dream.
Look for the kick, as they say in the movie. But anyway, NBNCo has announced it would cut down on its spending until its future is determined by the forming of a federal government. This is obviously after where we've all been talking about just now. The freeze on spending was the first report, which actually came out last week, and the company said in a statement that it would continue to operate, plan and use existing resources, but would seek to minimise any discretionary expenditure. So no more pub runs.
No more pub runs. About all a caretaker government can do is collect taxes and
make payouts to people.
And go to funerals. And what else have they been doing lately?
Yeah,
I think that's
right.
That's about all I've seen.
That's
I think
about all they can do.
Yeah, no one can make a decision.
And the Prime Minister has to consult and refer everything through the opposition leader as well. They can't just make decisions and do stuff.
Mm.
They've got to actually proactively consult with each other.
So what you're saying is that it might actually stop them doing two-thirds of the harm that they usually manage to do.
It might, like you're saying earlier, Graham. This might be a change that we need.
And also, independent MP Tony Windsor, one of the other of the guys, probably high-profile independents at the moment, has challenged Gillard government to provide the real figure for its broadband plan in Australia. Windsor, one of five independent MPs likely to shape the leadership of the next federal government, told the National Press Club in Canberra that the $43 billion price tag for the NBN is just a number that's being bandied about, and he wants a bit more actual cut and thrust on that. He wants to know where the $43 billion came from. So, and I think, I don't think that question's really been asked. I think we asked Conroy a while back and sort of got pushed under the carpet a little bit, and the election came and nothing sort of came from it. But there were a few rumours a couple of months back that it was actually going to cost less than the $43 billion. In fact, I think they were talking about 27 or 28, I think, came to mind. And, of course, they've started with the potential acquisition of Telstra's fixed cabling system for, what was that? That was $9 million plus an extra two on top of it for building, what was that? That was the, to look after their
universal service obligation. Yes. And the organisation was going to be called the USO Co.
Yeah, yeah.
To absolve Telstra of its responsibilities under the universal service obligation that it has at the moment. It was a bit of a sweetener for Telstra, wasn't it?
It was. So anyway, that's where we're at, state of the nation with broadband at the moment. A lot of people asking questions about it. Still early days yet. I think I heard Bob Catter on the radio this morning saying we're not going to find out an answer about which way the independents are going to go until at least next week. So if you're listening to the podcast, send us an email back through the TARDIS and tell us who won, because we'd love to know so we can get on with it.
Yes, that's it. Yes.
So, all right, moving on to other interesting news in technology this week. Optus have an SMS bar system now ready to go for premium network users. Now, do you remember this? Why does it take Optus so long to get their act together? Is it A, because they have an old system, B, they're not really interested in it and they want the revenue from it, or C, they really don't care?
The cheetahs are eating the giraffes in the wildebeests Yes.
Anyway,
the Serengeti.
A while back, the Australian Communications and Media Authority issued a barring determination that required carriers to provide customers with the option to block or not subscribe to premium SMS services from July the 1st. What was that? July, August. So nearly 2 months ago.
Yep.
Now, I remember the carrier that I use, which is Hutchison 3, they sent out and said you can now alter this before time and you can log on to the website, log into your account, and you can turn on and off your premium services as you choose to do so. But Optus is dragging the train. I think they're the last company. I could be wrong. I might stand corrected, but I think they're the last company where you can now opt in and stop getting these SMSs that you subscribe to at strange hours of the morning, or if you buy a new service and find that someone's already subscribed it to you because it's a recycled phone number.
Now, I got some spam from 3.
Gee, we've started a ruckus in the chat, haven't we?
We have.
Settle. I mentioned the word Optus. I think you'd thrown petrol over them.
my spam message was about enjoying free exclusive highlights and things of... Oh, it was about the Tour de France.
Who did you get this from?
From 3.
Did you?
So I forwarded it to the ACMA number.
Well done.
That number for forwarding, by the way, if you're wanting to know, is in Australia 0429 999 888. And I got a reply back straight away saying thank you for your spam SMS report to ACMA. And I had a receipt number and a web address to go to. And then about a day later, I got another spam. Well, it wasn't spam, but it was another spam SMS from 3 saying, did you know that you can turn off premium SMSs from us? If you'd like to do so, then click on this link or ring this number. So it was like a spam response in response to me reporting the spam, if that makes sense.
I think it was more coincidental than anything else. I can't imagine a telco being that organised.
Well, I think the ACMA might have given them a rocket and said, why are you sending Dr. Ron spam SMS? And they've sent a spam back to me saying how to stop spam.
But see, that's not spam. If you're a subscriber to that organisation,
they
have a
Vikings
right
track to roll in, like your Nerd Alert one. You need one with Vikings singing spam, like when we start.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll organise that for next week, shall we? The Monty Python boys. Is that who you're thinking
of? Yeah, that's on, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, but yes, you do actually have, or should I say, companies who you subscribe to providing goods and services do actually have a right to send you unsolicited mail. It's just part of it. They've still got to give you an opt-out. And did you opt out? Have you opted out?
No, I didn't bother clicking on their link in their spam SMS, no.
Oh, well, so you're still, you're in by default.
Yeah, I guess I am. But why should, it drives me crazy though. Why should I have to go to a website or click on a link to opt out of something?
Well,
this is American mentality that we've never had in Australia, but it's starting to creep in with everything.
It's not. It's an Australian thing, whereas if you are a subscriber to a company, you get goods and services from wherever, then that is a business interaction, so therefore they have the right to send you mail unless you opt out.
There's a... Graham's found the spam clip on YouTube. There's a... Yeah, well, there's a checkbox somewhere that I haven't unchecked, or a button somewhere
I
haven't pushed.
You're a Facebook user. You should be inundated by spam.
I don't like spam. There's something that I haven't done somewhere along the line in a terms and conditions or a contract somewhere, and they've just said, well, we're going to reserve the right to inundate you with marketing information unless you specifically request otherwise.
Mm. I think you can.
That was an American cultural thing. I thought that happened in the US.
Oh, well.
If you're listening in the US and that's normal for you, then let us know. It's never been normal here up until the last few years. It just started to creep in everywhere.
Mm.
And you complain about things and people say, oh, you just have to opt out. You just have to let us know. Well, I don't want to opt out by default. I want to be opted out by default. I don't want to have to go out of my way to opt out. Does that make sense?
Yes, I agree.
Have you got a Garmin? It's a fire hazard if you do.
I heard about this. What is going on? Are people travelling that fast?
Exploding garments.
Garments, yes. John Cleese has been in there and talking about if the people coming towards you have got pointy heads, you're going too fast, slow down. But Garmin recalls fire-prone GPSs. Now, these are like TomToms and Navmans. Well, actually, Navman is a Garmin, isn't it? All these devices that people have mysteriously suction cupped to the window of their car. Anyway, Swiss GPS device maker Garmin has recalled only 1.25 million of its Nuvi, if that's how you say them. I don't have one.
Yeah, is that Nuvi, that's Nuvi. Yep.
Devices.
It's like N-U-umlaut V-I or something.
Umlaut, is that what that is?
Yep.
The two dots above the U.
It is.
I thought my printer had just put a bit of ink there for no reason.
No, that's intentional.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Well, good. Anyway, after they have discovered that the gadget is prone to overheating, you should try a HTC Android phone if you want to feel
they warm.
They get pretty hot with the charger. They do what? Anyway, overheating has occurred when batteries used within several Nuvi models are combined with its printed circuit board. I wonder what that means. Whether it comes in contact with it or something. The affected models, if you have one in your car, the 200W, the 250W, the 260W. I wonder if that stands for watts. Maybe it does. Maybe that's why they run
hot. Heating,
yeah. The 7XX, the 7XXT, where the... so if you know those models, chances are, just put your hand on it when you're driving, not in the sunshine. Chances are it could be hot. Garmin said it will replace the battery and insert a spacer on top of the battery next to the printed circuit board before returning the Nuvi to the affected customers. It'll probably take 6 weeks to do that, so you'll be without your Garmin for a while. I'm just making that bit up. But there you go. You can actually, there's a free call number in Australia, 1-800-113-738. And if you're in New Zealand, it's 0800-427-652. Because we're Magic FM. Take us in New Zealand.
Warlock's,
Magic.
Warlock's just corrected you in the chat room. Navman is not Garmin.
Which is Navman? Are they their own?
No, they're their own brand.
You can tell
I don't
have one of these.
No, I thought it was just a slip of the tongue before. Yeah, but Navman, doesn't have a high opinion of in the chat room, but he's saying Garmin is great.
Garmin's great? Yeah. I think the TomToms are good too. They have a good reputation. But once again, I don't have one. The guys in the chat room will sort of no doubt.
I do. I tried one of the others. I think it was probably a Navman one that I tried once and really didn't like and went straight back to my TomTom.
Yeah.
So,
I have a colleague who has a TomTom. He tried to come to the new Tech Talk offices and the TomTom didn't know where we were. Took him to the wrong street.
Oh.
Where there's another street which is similar to our street in the next suburb and he went there instead.
Probably clicked the wrong thing in the list.
Operator thing, is it?
Operator error or
more likely?
Big finger error, which I have trouble with, yeah.
Excellent. All right, and before we go to the break, let's talk about this new Google phone thing. Now, this was pretty impressive. Dr. Ron, now,
do you reckon, I said in the news, Telstra and Optus will be quaking in their boots. If they've got Optus on their if they've got Google on their heels.
Yeah, but not everyone makes phone calls from PC, so I don't think that's really going to be an issue.
Well, there's also a rumor that Apple are going to buy a telco or build a telco as well.
Really?
Mm. With their cashed up at the moment, so.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm just trying to think how that's going to interact with the store.
You need to have iTunes.
You have to have iTunes loaded up, and you'll need an iPhone plugged into your iTunes. And, yeah, anyway,
So how does this work with Google? Do you need headphones and microphone plugged into your computer?
Well, I just used my old Hewlett-Packard laptop, which I had the other day, and it was 10 out of 10. It didn't. All I did was turn the speakers on and just talk to the microphone, just like it was sitting, like it was a Skype call.
Okay, but yes, but it used the sound system of the computer. So
it did.
Your computer needs to have a microphone. You need to have a headset plugged in or something like that.
Oh, if you want to, yeah. If you're on a computer that needs that, yeah. But if you're on a laptop, you don't need it. Chances are you've got a mic and a speaker in it already.
Yeah, as long as you have got it. Yeah, but it does use the computer's microphone and speaker.
Yep.
So if you haven't got one, it won't work.
So log into your Gmail account. Go down to chat, which I think is on the left hand side. And you need to download an app, don't you, Dr. Ron? Because I did.
It's a plug-in, the Google Voice, for Gmail, yep. I believe. And you set your language to English.
US, English.
US, yeah.
And it then pops up, and you can either use your buddy list, if that's what you call it in Gmail, or you can actually type the numbers in. Now, the thing which, because I was a bit late when I did it, I just typed in, 03 and phone number, and it didn't know what I was talking about.
You need to put
it's a plus, an international version.
A plus 61.
Or click the Australian flag and then type the number, or put your international numbers into your lists and contacts, and you'll be right. So, and I tried it. I rang the home phone, and to my wife's absolute, what are you doing now type, sort of, those glaring, stop playing with toys.
Will you come upstairs for lunch? Stop playing around.
Yeah. Anyway, we did a bit of a test and she could hear me quite well and it worked really, really well. So for 2 US cents, that's going to...
Per minute?
Is it per minute? I thought it is a timed call, is it?
Yeah, that's why I couldn't hear. You ran out of money. You're probably being...
no coins spending in the slot.
That's probably it.
2 US cents per minute.
I thought
minute
it was 2 cents per call. Well, there you go. See, no. You learn things on this show.
Yeah. So you would have started off with a 10 US cent credit. So they give you 10 cents gratis.
And I burned it talking to my wife. And can you believe that? my God, I could have spent money on other things.
Now, you can top up your 10 cent credit with credit card, apparently. So you punch in your credit card number. And I know that Google accepts American Express, unlike those parking meters. So you can go crazy there. You can put $20 on if you want and start dialing the world.
Well, so the other good thing, too, is if you've got friends and family in the US, it's free. You can send texts and you can talk to people in the US for free, can't you? I think you mentioned that. I'll have to try that with Lyd. I've just got to get back into the right time zone because she goes to bed when we get up type sort of thing. So
mobiles are still expensive, as they always are, because you're paying Google will be paying interconnect fees to other carriers. 14 cents per minute.
But give it a go. If you're online, give it a go. Try ring our feedback number and leave a message and say that you're actually calling.
That's a good idea.
On your,
using your 2 cents.
Using your 2 cents. Be brief because it'll go very quickly. And just give us a call. So 03 8. Oh, sorry. If you're using your newfound Gmail mail system, it's
613 8688836.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show.
Tech Talk Radio.
Remember when Tech Talk Radio first hit the airwaves some 5-odd years ago? Listeners could ring up and say their bit. Remember that? Well, it's back.
The Tech Talk Radio feedback line has risen from the ashes. So if you have a comment, criticism, correction, or you just plain want to get it off your chest, then start dialing 03 8682 8836. The Tech Talk Radio feedback line is your direct line to being heard by millions of Tech Talk listeners around the planet. So get dialing 03 8682 8836. That's 03 8682 8836. Call now.
But we've run out of steak knives.
Android-powered, flash-enabled devices. I like the sound of that.
Yeah, the thing might end up costing a little bit more, working a whole lot better, and being a whole lot more future-proof.
And there's an LED backlight as well.
Was that Humdinger? Ripschneider?
It's a Perlaterra.
Are they selling well on eBay?
Oh, yes.
Not that type of guy.
You sound disappointed, Graham.
Entertaining.
Now, I'd like to introduce a conspiracy theory at this point in time because...
Oh, good.
Informative.
We've got another case here of a complete and utter lack of perspective.
Independent.
No, the couch is unbleepable.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Unbelievable.
It is unbelievable, you're right.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Very good evening. Welcome. Wherever you might be listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Have we started again?
We have. We're back.
Right.
Did you know we're only 5 shows away from our 300th?
Yeah, I heard you say that in the intro.
That's why I'm dropping them into the intro so we can at least...
Are you for real? Are you serious?
We're nearly 300 shows down.
Are we going to do another party show?
I don't know.
Are we going to quit while we're ahead? Are we just going to stop?
Go out and high.
Go out and high.
I know. Let's see what the guys say in the chat room.
All right. We'll see what sort of response that gets.
Yes. What was I going to say? There's some interesting news because we have to go to Adam Turner's view from the couch.
Oh, yeah, good. What's Adam ranting about tonight?
Adam's going to have a go about catch-up TV and stuff like that, which is all good. It's like you'll actually get a bit out of this
because
it's about
TV.
Media servers in living rooms. Like, you have a PC in your living room, don't
I'm
you?
I'm doing the mother of all blog posts at the moment. It's taking me days and days and days to write. Saved in my drafts on the surgery, which is at drron.com.au.
Yeah.
And I am putting Media Center... Media Center 7 through the hoops. It's going really, really, really well. I'm really liking it. Microsoft has done a great amount of work on it.
I've got some news for you. On the first Monday of each month, we're going to have Microsoft in to talk about all sorts of different things very shortly, and Media Centers is going to be one of them. I can't tell you which date it is. I'd have to... I probably can. I'll go for a bit of a scroll in my... my HTC here, if I can unlock it.
Now, you've used Media Center with Windows XP before.
I used XP Media Center Edition.
And you used to complain about that regularly.
Only as long as I tried to use it.
Yeah.
But after, when
it was turned off, it was good. Yeah.
After a week or 10 days or so, Graham, I completely gave up on it. It was a disaster of an application.
Mm.
But it wouldn't detect a video card, a DVB-T card, whereas... that same card would work in that machine, in that chassis, if you were running
another program. But it wouldn't work with Media Center.
That's right. It wouldn't play videos or movie files, whereas the same machine would play it.
But what you've done recently is you've gone and got a machine that runs Windows 7.
Yes.
And you've used the Media Center that comes with Windows 7.
Yes.
And that's hugely improved.
Hugely improved. They've done, as I said, Microsoft has done a lot of work. The user interface is fantastic. Supports the card that I've got. It plays AVI files, which is a lot more than XP Media Center would do. The catch-up TV, bringing it back on track with what Andrew is talking about now, catch-up TV works really well. The pause, rewind, live TV, all that sort of stuff works brilliantly. I'm very, very impressed. And a lot of work.
Mountain Wombat says...
your programs and...
Yes, it does.
Doesn't miss them?
Doesn't miss them. You can look at the episode guide. You can right-click and say record series. It just does everything. It's great.
Mountain Wombat on our chat saying Win 7 Media... Oh, my screen refreshed.
Is pretty good.
Is pretty good, and I'm going to get an Acer Home server soon.
Good choice, Mountain.
There you go.
Now, for those of you who are interested, and for those of you who aren't interested, Windows 7 and Windows Home Server, we're going to have a chat to Microsoft in the studio on the 7th of September.
Good, good.
They're coming into the studio. It's a big night on that. And as I scroll down to...
Is that next week?
That's next week, 7th of September.
Oh, there you go, next week.
Yes.
Gee, we're into spring already. Gee, it comes around quick, doesn't
spring
it?
Spring is sprung. It's about to be, yeah.
And then in October, the 4th of October, we're going to be chatting to Dave Glover about Windows Phone 7.
Good.
So I know there's been a bit of contentious issues and things like that with the way it's all going to go. So that's going to... There's two Microsoft... night's coming up fairly shortly. We're going to get in and ask questions. Come along to the chat. Send us questions on the phone and all that sort of stuff. We can ask them.
I wonder what happens if you try and use the Google Voice plugin in Gmail to ring a Windows phone.
Let's try it and see, shall we? The type of guys we are. By the way, who's Lena in the chat? Is she one of your followers?
Hi, Lena. It's good to have you aboard.
Yeah, hello, Lena. A Dr. Ron fan.
She's a new participant there. Yes, hello to everybody in the chat as well. Stryker's
she
there, of course.
Shiny things.
We've said hello to Warlock. Mountain Wombat's
we all
there.
We like shiny things.
Hello, Brad. Hello, Freak.
Blink.
Hello, no good names left.
Oh, come on.
Professor Laney's there, of course. We're all logged in.
Absolutely.
Good to see. It's nice and busy.
And as I was going to say when we first came back to the break, hello to a lot of the stations that take us. Well, I know we try and remember everybody from time to time, but, you know, there's Magic in New Zealand. Cairns FM in up north have taken us ever since pretty much day one. It's great being on board with them.
Yep. There's radio station Catherine.
Yeah, 8KTR. If you guys have worked it out yet, good, because, you know, it's one of those cult... Yeah, well, you know what it's like. And, there's...
And the one in New South Wales.
There's a couple in New South Wales.
New South Wales, yeah.
Yeah, so welcome, wherever you're listening to us on in this great big brown land of ours. I'm not sure. The podcast just goes near and far.
We've got Magic FM, which is Hawke's Bay in Napier, New Zealand. So hello to everybody listening in Hawke's Bay. Switch 1197, don't forget the Brisbane... people on Switch.
Oh, we get emails from the people on Switch. It's great. Yep. Yeah, no, I forgot about Switch. Hi, Switch. I didn't mean to.
Mustn't forget Brisbane.
Brizzy's great.
Don't forget Brisbane. We've got 2GHR, which is where the submarine is, Holbrook.
Oh, yeah.
Greater Hume Shire Community Radio.
Half a submarine.
Half a submarine.
The top half. My kids love that submarine when you drive to Sydney and play on it. It's great.
No, we're doing well. So hello to everybody. And if you're listening on a radio station we don't know about, then
let us know. We'll send
Let us know. Yes, we will make inquiries. Yes. Andrew. Adam. We're talking about Adam.
We're going to talk about Adam. Yes. One of the things which I was going to talk about too, you've got a... Have you got an iPad, JD, yet?
No.
No?
No.
What's going on? He's supposed to be our Apple guru. He doesn't have an iOS 4 iPhone or even a... He's got the old one.
But I've got an Apple II from 1977. Come on.
Fantastic. And I rang up the other day. One of our guys in the office was trying to get rid of a couple of the old Macs. He said, no, I don't want them.
Oh, G4s. I've got lots of G4s.
Lots of G4s. Mm. I think they're a dime a dozen, aren't they? Anyway, the iView is coming to the iPad and the iPhone and the Android.
Hang on. iView is...
A non-flash-based iView.
Yes. Mm. See, now it's chirping up.
You're talking about ABC's catch-up television
service. Yes,
Australian
Broadcasting, whatever the C stands for. I always get that mucked up.
Australian Broadcasting Commission?
Commission?
Corporation.
See? Yes, we all look at Graham.
Just
what is it, Graham?
Corporation.
It's corporation.
Thank you.
I think you're several years out of date with your commissions.
Sorry. I know. It's like Telecom Australia. Great company. Anyway, the ABC's iView, which is catch-up TV for the government broadcaster in this country, is now coming to a iGadget and a droid near you. Being flash-based, as JD pointed out before, it's traditionally been in the no-can-do section, especially with Mr. Jobs' hatred towards the flash platform. But Android, I don't know why it hasn't hit Android yet, probably because no one's actually done an app for it yet. Mm. Now, there are some... I must admit, that's one of the things I have noticed with the Android, is the apps are there, but they're not as functional as what the iPhone apps are. So whether people are building for iPhone because they're more popular and then doing a sort of like a cut-down version for the Android or something, I'm not sure. But anyway, this is all happening very shortly. We're going to get iView, catch-up TV on the iPad, which because the iPad's great for watching stuff on.
I'm sure it is.
The iPhone's
not. I'll find out one day.
Yeah. It's got a big screen. You must have seen them by now.
Yes, I have.
I've got a great thing here, which I've been threatening to read out. It's called the iPad Opinion Profile. It tells what type of people own iPads. Very interesting reading. We will get to it one day when we have a slow news day on Tech Talk Radio. I'll just hold it up to the camera there to prove that I do actually have it. So, yes. And that's going to be good. I'm looking forward to being able to watch all the kiddie stuff when my kids sit down there and use the iPhone.
On the TV.
Yeah, so now they can fight. But then again, the other interesting thing that I've got too, I have some Sony Blu-ray players, and you can actually get a great little remote control for your iPhone and for the iPad to actually do. And it's really good. You can sit there and create havoc in the living room on the iPad and the iPhone. Actually, I've got another question, just digressing beautifully here. And you tech guys, or even the guys in the chat might know, what happens if you have a wireless network which has the same name on it? Like if you're a troublemaker in the area and you live next to someone who's got, an SSID of Big Pond 1234, and you decide to put another device up there which also says Big Pond 1234, how does it know which one to connect to?
It'll...
Through a MAC address or something?
It'll connect to it if you've got two access points that are set up with the same SSID and the same authentication, the same...
Like WPA or WEP or something.
And the same key.
Yeah.
Then it will just choose whichever one's the strongest or whichever one it can most easily connect to.
Ah.
So that's how you set up. If you've got more than one access point on your network, you just give them the same name and the same encryption and your machine will...
But can't you extend
connect to whichever one you want? You can do that as well, yeah. Yeah.
Mm. That's what I've done at home.
Yeah, but if you've got a building where you've got, you want to put in three different access points in three different areas of the building, then you just run them all back on cable and you just give them all the same settings. So, yes, this is one of the dangers of wireless that you've got to be careful of, that, you might not be connecting to who you think you're connecting to. And that's why people like to use VPN services when they're using their wireless, so that even if you are connected to the wrong service, then they can't see what you're what it is you're doing.
Mm.
Warlock in our chat room says that's why I don't use any public free Wi-Fi spots in Sydney City, so they don't steal my data. Especially if you're using old-fashioned protocols like email.
Haven't they got free Wi-Fi on the ferries now?
because things like SMTP, which is the protocol for email, it's not
encrypted. It's all open, and you can if you look at the data on the network, it's all in plain text. Your username is plain text. Your password's in plain text, and so Warlock's quite wise.
That's true. The other way to solve that problem is, as I said, to use a VPN, and there are public VPN services you can sign up to, so that the traffic's actually encrypted, so that the Wi-Fi operator can't see what you're doing.
Sorry, no password in SMTP. His password's in POP, which is the protocol you used to retrieve mail.
SMTP,
oh, you can, but it's not usually you have it
only
POP
if you
when you're retrieving mail.
POP or IMAP, yes.
Yeah.
Sorry.
What were we talking about? We're actually talking about servers in living rooms. Yeah.
Gadget website hotspot. No. We're only halfway there. Oh.
Don't turn off the stream.
Don't turn off the stream. Andrew, press play.
No, I won't press play. Just okay. I was going to talk to you. You've had a PC in your living room for some time.
Yes.
Whilst we all went down the, JD's been Apple TV, which is now ITV or whatever.
Well, we'll be soon.
So we'll be soon. Graham and I have been Western Digital. I think you even got a Western Digital Live, didn't you?
I have, yes. It's in the master bedroom in our house, so we can watch our catch-up
TV. The WDTV doesn't record TV, though. It just plays back whatever's on your network.
Yeah, we use it as an interface between the television and the computer network.
Mm. Okay. So there's lots of these gadgets out there, but making head nor tail of them...
I got a Wintel DVR to record my TV program. Well,
I feel
and stuff.
Sorry for you.
Yes, it's currently sitting in a corner. It just does not work.
Under the fridge.
Yes.
Yeah. Please only buy name brand things. People, you know, anyway, we won't go there. Yes, these devices obviously are a bit bamboozling for the average consumer to set up a computer in their living room, but basically they just don't want it. I wouldn't want one. Why would anyone? But that's why I like the Western Digital TV Live, because it was nice and small.
LPEL in our chat room's got a popcorn hour. Yep. That's another good one, very popular one.
A what?
A popcorn hour. I think Adam's done a review of that.
Yeah.
And in fact, Elgato, who make all the ITV products, had a version of the original popcorn hour as iHome, their little media server, and I had one of those. It was brilliant until the power supply in it blew up.
All right, well, let's the 3AW man who can speak volumes about these things, Adam Turner. This is his view from the couch for this week, all about home media servers.
Catch-up TV has come a long way in Australia, but I'm wondering, will we get one catch-up TV box to rule them all? There's a wealth of video content online, but it's still a struggle to get it onto your television. Most people don't want a computer in their lounge room, and to be honest, I don't blame them. I've got a Windows 7-based media center hooked up to my television, and it can be a fickle beast. I like to tinker with computers, but your average Joe would consider a media center PC more trouble than it's worth. People generally come home from work to get away from computers and flop down on the couch. The last thing they want to do is fight with another computer. Just to make things more difficult, there's no easy way to access all of Australia's catch-up TV services on a computer via a TV-friendly interface. Instead, you need to fire up the browser and navigate with a keyboard and mouse, unless you're running something like Hippo Remote on the iPhone, which lets your iPhone act as a remote control for your computer. Once again, most people will consider this to be more trouble than it's worth. So where does that leave us? The best PC-less solution right now seems to be the new Sony Blu-ray players running the Bravia Internet Video Service. The service is also built into some Sony televisions, although the Blu-ray players work with any TV, not just Sony's Bravias. The Bravia Internet Video Service offers access to catch-up TV content from SBS, ABC's iView, and 7's Plus 7. With better video quality that you get from the browser-based services. The main catch is that iView isn't unmetered, even if your internet service provider offers unmetered access to iView via the browser. Apart from the notable absence of 9 and 10, the other major disappointment with the Bravia Internet's video service is the dearth of content from 7's Plus 7 compared to what's available from the browser-based service. Now, Panasonic is adding Plus 7 access to its Blu-ray players, but that's not much to get excited about unless they offer access to more content than the Sony players. Sony's jack-of-all-trades PlayStation 3 doesn't offer access to the Bravia Internet Video Service, but you can watch iView, and access to Plus 7 is coming very soon. You're watching the browser-based service, so you should get more content than via Bravia Internet Video. Unfortunately, the picture quality isn't as good. To be honest, it's barely tolerable once you've experienced the excellent picture offered by Bravia Internet Video. Now, if you've got a computer stashed away in the study, you could always experiment with streaming video to a media player hooked up to your television. Right now, your best option is the PlayOn Media Server software combined with Netgear's Australian catch-up TV plugins. For this to work, you'll need a home network, preferably with an Ethernet cable linking your lounge room in the study rather than Wi-Fi. Once PlayOn is running on your computer, you should be able to see it using a DLNA-capable media player plugged into your television, such as a Netgear Entertainer, a WDTV Live, a PlayStation 3, or even a hacked Apple TV running Xbox Media Center. You should be able to click on PlayOn in the menus, browse to the channel and the TV show you want, and then just click play. The PlayOn solution is obviously still a little complicated for some people, but it's certainly a viable alternative to keeping a computer alongside your television. At least it would be if it worked. Right now there are plugins for the ABC, SBS, 9, 10 and Sky News, with 7 on the way. Unfortunately, ABC, SBS and Sky News appear to be screwed, either refusing to list any content or claiming the files are corrupt. The plugins for 9 and 10 work, although the picture quality is hit and miss. Sony will hopefully continue to expand its Bravia Internet Video service, but it looks like D-Link's upcoming Boxy Box could be the one catch-up TV box to rule them all. The Boxy Box runs the highly respected Boxy Media Center interface, for which enthusiasts have already developed iView plugins. The Boxy Box should be available in Australia by the end of the year, and D-Link has confirmed that it's negotiating with the networks for local catch-up TV access, plus eventually a movie rental service. For now, catch-up TV is a dog's breakfast once you take a computer out of the equation. Hopefully the Boxy Box will offer some relief and perhaps encourage other vendors to improve their offerings.
Entertaining, informative and independent. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
No wonder people just turn off and get awfully confused and don't want to know about streaming media in their living room, do they? Then you get Bravia TV things and DLNAs and all the acronyms come out and people
and
glaze
nothing
over.
And works with anything else.
No.
DLNA is supposed to fix that, so Digital Living Network Alliance.
Yeah, but nothing works with it.
It's, yeah. If you limit everything to being DLNA compliant, well, hopefully the components, the DLNA components will work with each
there
other. Hopefully.
We have Sony at our place because of that reason. We wanted it all to talk, and it does talk, but it actually can sometimes talk too well. It's when the kids leave the PlayStation on, for example, the PS3, and you go and turn it off. It just turns everything else off. It thinks you don't want to watch television anymore.
I've turned off with the multimedia center today.
Yeah. So you turn your PlayStation off and you find out that your Blu-ray turns off and the TV turns off all with one power button.
I see you're writing a letter. Yeah,
yeah. But look, I guess everything's...
I was trying to figure out, with my WDTV Live, it can view YouTube. And I'm thinking, well, if it can view YouTube, then why can't I have... view ABC iView or
other flash-based things.
Flash or web-based media things, but you can't. There's just no way to get from A to B.
You just need to program it up, as in whoever writes the software.
Yeah, but they haven't, and no, they that don't. Makes it useless.
Someone will hack it, don't worry.
And this is where the Bravia stuff comes in, because as Adam was talking about there, I've just taken delivery of a new Bravia 3D set for the office, and it's got all these ModCon things. I've got to plug it in and turn on tomorrow. It's a job for tomorrow, actually.
Cool.
And have a look-see. And it's got iView and 7 catch-up and 10 catch-up and all that sort of stuff, whatever they are these days. So I'll have a look and I'll let you know next week what it's all about. Yeah. But that's an off-the-shelf telly these days. So, and if common families are like our families, which probably they aren't, then and you've got young kids and you've got a good broadband connection, then iView will reign supreme. You'll get 5 gig a week like we do in our place with the bandwidth going through. But that's not a problem for anybody anymore because, I don't know, my bandwidth allowance has gone through the roof. I'm paying less and I'm now getting 4 times what I used to get on my ISP. And you got an upgrade too, didn't you, the other day, Dr.
I did. I went from I'm on IINet and I went from 50 gig peak, 50 gig off peak
to 75 gig peak, 75 gig off peak for the same
extra,
price.
An extra 25 gig out
extra,
of it. Is that right?
Yeah, an extra 50 gig. An extra 50 gig.
For the same price.
For the same price. It's pretty good. And I think that's one of the fundamental laws of physics, isn't it? Like the bandwidth will ultimately be free, or it'll approach zero. It'll just get cheaper and cheaper and cheaper and
like
cheaper.
Like phone calls. They're down to 2 cents US right. per 30 seconds.
And unless, the way the ISPs will be making their money is out of value-added services.
Unless you're with Telstra.
No, Telstra will have to cave to pressure,
I
reckon,
they are becoming very aggressive.
Well, I'm with Telstra Cable and nothing's changed since I signed up.
Yeah, because there's no competition in the cable.
In the cable space, if you're on ADSL, you're it might be a different story.
You're competing with zoos. You're competing with, you know, monkeys and hippopotamuses and things like that.
The wildebeests on the Serengeti.
Yeah, they just up your speed and charge you the same amount, so you use what little you have faster.
No. To get the faster speed, I have to pay more.
Oh, do you? Yes. So to use Doxus 3 and get 100 megabits or 200 megabits down or whatever it is.
You've got to pay more. It's only $10 extra a month, but, you know, that can make a difference.
And why? Because they can. Mm. It's like Easy Call. Why would you pay for calling number display when you get it free on a VoIP service and all sorts of things like that? Because you can. It's their bottom line. They're shareholders. And if you were a Telstra shareholder at the moment, you wouldn't be happy, would you, Jan?
You would not. Can I tell you a brief on-topic Optus success story?
Did they have one?
Yeah, my father got a package in the mail a couple of weeks ago from Optus.
Ticking.
It wasn't ticking because it wasn't plugged in, but it had a little letter saying that, oh, we noticed, thank you for being an Optus cable customer for many years, and we noticed that the cable modem that you're using is an old Motorola model, and we'd like to give you an upgrade, just at no charge, and give us a ring, plug this in, and we'll help you configure it up, and thanks for being an Optus customer.
Customer service.
Yeah, it was a brand new... I'm trying to remember the name of the brand now. His old one was a Motorola surfboard, which is fairly old, and as soon as he told me, I thought, oh, this is probably to bring him up to speed with the new... Remember a few weeks ago, we were talking about the new DOCSIS 3 cable standards that were being rolled out by Optus. So it's probably making customers with old hardware DOCSIS 3 ready. Potentially. I don't know. I haven't looked at it in that much detail yet, but when he told me, I thought, oh, yeah, that rings a bell, because we were talking about that on Tech Talk.
Mm. Yes.
So nice new modem at no charge for Dad from Optus. So I thought that was nice
good.
Of them.
Bit of customer support.
Yeah.
Was it someone else that you were saying the other day that I think iNet sent you batteries for your Bob the other day? Was it you?
Yeah, iNet sent me batteries for Bob.
Support?
Yeah, now Bob is their broadband-in-a-box product, which has been very successful.
I don't know how that acronym works.
I don't think it does, but that's okay. We'll move on. It's been very successful for iNet, and they also sent me a package in the mail, completely unsolicited. Hi, Dr. Iron, you've been an iNet customer for a long time. We've noticed that with our cordless handsets, to use the VoIP service, that the rechargeable batteries in the handsets... might be starting to reach the end of their usable life. So, at no charge to you, please find enclosed two brand new AA rechargeable batteries. And here are the instructions how to insert them into your Bob handset and give us a call if you need to.
Wow.
I thought, when has anyone else like that gone out of their way to like proactively send me replacement hardware for what they think might be end of life? Products that I've got at home. I thought that was a great gesture.
Well, if you look at it from the telco's point of view, if you've got flat batteries, you can't make phone calls, therefore they don't earn revenue. So it's probably a small investment to make.
Yeah.
If they buy tens of thousands of batteries and stick them in the mail.
It's still not something that anyone else
has ever done. No, I agree. It's still a very good marketing ploy to make you think, oh, rather than signing up and that's the last you'll ever hear of them in case you've got a complaint or something.
Thinking, oh, I've got to replace the batteries in my Bob handset. Where do I get them from?
I'm going to have to buy a new one.
Yeah, trying to buy a new one. But no, they just, off their own bat, they sent me that in the mail. That was very kind.
It's a good way to sort of build up some brand loyalty and some,
absolutely.
Some good word of mouth.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, so where are we going to go with these great little living room TV things? Are we going to stick to it, the television, or are you going to stick to your computer in the living room, Dr. Ron, or are you going to downscale? I just don't think a PC in the living room cuts it underneath the Bravia these days.
I think the PC in the living room is a great idea, and I'm going to stick with it, contrary to your personal opinion. I think that it makes sense to me.
All right, let's go outside, shall we?
You haven't seen...
Let's take this outside.
Absolutely.
You haven't seen Windows Media Center on Windows 7, have you, Andrew?
No, I haven't.
It is something remarkably good.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
It makes sense to me to have a PC as a fundamental component next to the TV, next to the surround sound system, next to the DVD player, next to the Blu-ray player. If you've got a PC there, not only have you got access... Well, not only do you have an interface between all of your living room equipment and your computer network, But you've also got the media centre there, like Graham's saying. You've got access to the internet. You can bring up a web browser if you want to check something quickly on your telly. I've got a wireless keyboard and a wireless mouse that just sit on the coffee table, and it works really well for me. I understand that's not for everybody, but yeah, for me it makes sense and it works.
For people like us that are happy to have a PC to do, or a computer in my case, it wouldn't be a PC, to do things around the house in every opportunity, it makes a lot of sense. Apple have obviously started the rumour mill again about the ITV, and there's an event coming up
now,
this week.
What is going on with that?
The event or the ITV?
Both.
So there's an event coming up that's very early Wednesday morning our time here in Australia, in the Eastern Seaboard. That's traditionally one of the iTunes music events, but it is when they talked about the Apple TV first coming out a couple of years ago. The iPods and so forth will get released there as well from time to time.
Are we going to see new devices coming out?
Well, there's lots
of
rumours about the new Apple TV or ITV device, which is going to be significantly smaller than the current one, use flash-based memory rather than a hard drive, which is certainly an issue
with
mine.
No HD, no 1080i, is that
well,
right?
Well, apparently it's hardware limited because of the A4 chip. Apparently the A4 chip, for some reason, I can't imagine why.
Well, I don't know. That organisation leaves me speechless at times about why they do certain things when it comes to hardware, but in this day and age when 1080i is a giver, you've got to have it. Why would you cripple a device by
This is rumours, so
speculation,
who knows what's coming out. So allegedly it's going to be a small device. It's going to run the iPhone operating system, or the iOS now as it's being known.
iOS 4?
Yeah. Yeah, which is what the iPhone 4 runs now.
Yep.
And there's some, because the Apple bought out, I think it was Lala, one of the streaming companies.
Isn't that an island in Greece?
Yes. A couple of years ago, there's some speculation that the big media launch later this week is actually going to be for on-demand streaming TV through the Apple Store, the iTunes Store. So there's a whole lot of things coming together there. So Apple are backing in that a consumer device that's easy to use, you plug it in your telly, you connect it to the internet and it just works, is the way to go. And I guess they have to, because they're not in the TV industry. They don't make plasma TVs and screens. So they have to go for the add-on box. Well, I mean, and the alternative, of course, is what you've got, Andrew. Buy the box that does everything, screen and all.
Yeah, and that's what I like about it. I must admit, I'm trying to minimise the amount of boxes and cables in my living room. And when you can get a device which has it all built in, it's actually not a bad option, and especially when you can see all the browsers. I'm still a little confused about the metering and non-metering points of getting it through certain browsers and things like that. So unless it goes through a proxy or something, I'm not sure what the deal is with getting content streamed to your Bravia and stuff like that. But I'll let you know.
Yeah, so it's unmetered if you look at it on your PC, but it might be metered if you look at it through your Bravia. That sucks.
It seems fairly confusing, and I'm not quite sure. I'll try and work out the lowdown on that with the new device, which I have very shortly. But
why would that be? I don't understand why that would be.
It can only go through a proxy or something. It's the only thing I can think of.
Possibly, streaming from a different source.
Yeah,
And it might be going through a different conversion, so it might be streaming in a different format, a different compression regime or something. So,
but having said that, the PlayStation 3, which is what we watch iView on a lot of the time, that's fine. It's unmetered on the provider, and it goes through a PlayStation 3. Great way of watching telly, by the way. Really good.
Damo the Geek in our chat room says, regrettably, thinking about going back to Foxtel due to lack of HD content on free-to-air.
Yes.
Oh, now that's a contentious issue, mate.
It is a contentious issue, isn't it?
Interestingly, the Foxtel is another reason. I would possibly already have a Windows 7 Media Center PC in our lounge room at home if it wasn't for the fact that there's no way to integrate it with the Foxtel.
But I thought the election coverage in HD was fantastic on Channel 24. Didn't you watch that?
No, haven't got an HD TV.
Get all the pollies in all their high-def fineness.
You can only up-resed.
You can only, but they're showing standard def content, upscaled to HD, so that it started off as standard def, but if those of us who have only got standard def TVs can't watch it because they're only broadcasting in high-def.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I can't watch Channel 24 because I haven't got a high-def.
You can if you go to your PC and you click on the button, it'll come up there on your screen.
I've watched 5 minutes of it in a little window on my PC, and I got fed up with it. I got bored and clicked on something, and it just got left behind.
But Graham's got a valid point. You should be able to watch Channel 24 in his living room, or watch the 24-hour news channel in his living room with his television, but he can't if he doesn't have a high-def tuner.
And yet those who have got a high-def tuner can't watch all the good channel ABC One programs on HD anymore.
No,
it's the stupidest decision.
I can't quite understand where the industry is going to as well, unless they've finally realised that.
And everybody's doing it. Why does everybody think it's a good idea?
Professor Laney in the chat room says, get a new TV, GC. Get with the program.
All right. Thanks, Professor. Laney's going to buy me a new TV. Thanks, Professor Laney.
Give him the Bravia HX.
That's what I need.
HX 800. Good set.
If you've got an HD TV or you've got a high-def set-top box and you can't see Channel 24, you need to do a rescan every now and again. And you need to automatically. You need to automatically. That'll confuse you.
And I will.
You need to rescan all your channels and have the box or the television just reprogram.
If you've got any sort of digital TV, you need to rescan every now and then to get the latest channels and things.
It'll sync up with the real world.
I'd need an aerial to do that.
Don't you have an aerial?
No,
is what you're plugging
in at home.
Aerial, so you plug into a wireless, JD.
You need an aerial to have digital television, but you need a roof to have an aerial.
He's got his roof back. I saw it the other day. Someone put it back.
Oh, I'll put an aerial on it.
Yeah, put an aerial in. All right, you're listening to Tech Talk Radio. Andrew McComb, Dr. Ron, Justin's in this evening. Graham's in this evening. We're going to take a break whilst Graham can go get some therapy in the chat room. They're telling you all about how to get your HD box, and we'll be back with more in a moment.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show, Tech Talk Radio.
Now, let's talk about Freeview.
Hey, someone just joined the wave.
They're the people I want to avoid the calls from.
Comes in very handy, especially when your files get really, really big and corruption takes place.
So you're an AAAAAAA.
Dude, it's not even a beta. It's just for us to play around with.
They also cited taxes and freight costs.
Just mount it on your desktop and run it direct.
It's a big risk.
Well, you watch the webcam.
Yeah.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show, Tech Talk Radio. You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show,
Tech Talk Radio.
XCOM went and met its maker during the course of the week. XCOM,
that was lucky,
was a fairly sizable computer training institution. Good, thank you. Who made that? Is it Dr. Laney? It
was Professor Laney.
Professor Laney's cake, very good cake. Didn't make it back to air, did we, boys? I'm still eating.
XCOM, go ahead.
XCOM, basically a very large computer training corporation around Australia, Singapore, I think even in the UK they might have been too. Anyway, very out there company, has packed it in. Not sure why, but I guess the administrators will tell us why. So if you're a computer graduate there, you're the lucky ones. There are a few out there that haven't quite got through yet, so I don't know who's going to replace them, because that was the place you went to learn about becoming Microsoft certified.
I think was where I went. Yeah, I was just wondering.
Did you have any
that.
Experience with them, Graham? I think they're in South Melbourne, here in Melbourne.
The place I went to was certainly in South Melbourne.
Probably was then. It was a fairly big place, two-story place.
Yeah, with all the training places upstairs, all the training classrooms upstairs. Yeah,
that'd be it.
I went back a few weeks later and did my exam and passed it, so.
Very good.
That's a shame if that's gone, yeah.
And a lot of students have been caught out. And Dimension Data Learning, which is another organisation, has picked up those students from XCOM to look after them. So that was a very nice.
So they are being looked after.
I think so, yes.
Dimension Data Learning. I wonder if it's any relation to the company Dimension Data.
Maybe.
Which is huge in the telecommunications industry.
Well, there you go. It could be one and the same, really. If they're big in the telecommunications, I don't think their trademarking people would let other people have a name very similar to that one, would they?
Interesting.
All right.
It was XCOM. I've just looked it up, yeah.
Another interesting news. This is sort of a bit like the Manic Minute, but I'm just taking the paste version at the moment. Zurich. UK cops, $4 million data loss fine. It was an interesting headline that I saw go through, but the UK Financial Services Authority has issued its largest ever fine for a data breach to the UK branch of Swiss insurance giant Zurich. Trying saying that with a bit of carrot cake in your mouth.
Yes, you just did and you failed.
Yes. Anyway, Zurich was given a £2,275,000 fine, which is around about $4 million for losing highly confidential customer information.
That's a fair bit.
I think they did a naughty thing here, including bank accounts, credit card information, details about insured assets and security arrangements. Imagine if your bank did that. You'd expect them to get a very big rap across the
knuckles. I'd be very happy if they got fined $4 million of my money.
Well,
shareholders' money.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Exactly. If you're one of the big four, it'd be like water off a duck's back for them. So, anyway, but data preservation, that's one of the biggest things these days, isn't it? You've got to really protect your privacy online. And when you can't do it and you trust some other organisation to do it, and that's what happens, well, yes, I wouldn't be happy either. All right, Telstra is warning of a Big Pond email scam. Surprise, surprise. And their customers are being told not to be fooled by phishing emails purporting to be from Big Pond asking for personal details. The telco issued a general alert following reports of an email scam claiming to be from Big Pond. So, you know, they're targeting everyone. I don't know what you do with a Big Pond email account, but I guess you probably log into phone services and things like that, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're asking for Big Pond password requests. So I guess you're giving them access to your account on Big Pond.
Identity fraud. That's the first thing that's popped into my mind.
Yeah. So you could be somebody else. And
Yep. They're wanting to change maybe the address, get accounts and correspondence sent to another address and build up a profile of somebody.
Mm.
It's where it all starts. All you need, you only need an
ISP login, do you?
100 points of ID to do a lot of things, you know. You get a couple of, get a Big Pond account.
Do we still need 100 points in this account, in this country, do we?
Yeah, for different things. But you could get a Big Pond bill and a, you know, a phone bill and a gas bill or something. And yeah, you could start to set up a false identity in someone else's name.
Graham, didn't you do a thing recently where you had to try and open 100 points and without any form of photo ID?
That was like my fridge experiment. That was one that you were going to do.
No,
I don't think I succeeded. I think I had to have photo ID.
I'm trying to remember what it was. It was something you were going to do.
There was something. It was a long while ago now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bit like the fridge experiment, which has now been usurped by Adam's microwave oven. Oh, it was a conventional oven.
Yeah, we still haven't got the temperature that he had the oven set to before he put his head in there with the telephone. And was it on fan forced or was it on conventional? That's what I want to know. Adam's not in the chat room tonight. Where's Adam?
He's on other radio stations, I think.
Is he?
Yeah. Oh.
Come and talk to us in the chat room if you're listening live, chat.techtalkradio.com.au. And if you're not listening live, you can look at the show notes at forum.techtalkradio.com.au.
Now, Android is an operating system devised by the people called Google. And Firefox is about to be released for Android as well.
Firefox for Android. I'm not sure about this.
Now, is Google going to be happy with a non-Chrome Google product on their Android?
I don't know.
Can't be as bad as not having Flash on an iPhone, really, is it?
Or having any other web browser on an iPhone, for that matter.
Firefox for Android has moved up a gear with the news that Fennec Alpha has been released for the platform by Mozilla. Also available for the N900, the new release adds in a number of new extras to the pre-alpha build that appeared in April. Main focus of this new release is to improve the performance on the build with responsiveness to users' actions, the key area upgraded. So, watch out, very shortly, Firefox on Android. But why not? It's Android in itself is open platform, isn't it? That's what Google do.
That's what Google does. I'm going into the Android market as we speak, and I'm going to search
to do a live demo of installation.
Firefox, and see what happens. See how quickly it breaks my phone. But I'm sure it won't break my phone. I'm sure it'll work really well. If it's there, though. Maybe it's not in the market.
It's a pre-alpha-y thing, so it may not be actually there for general consumption.
You might have to go to the Firefox website and download a special version if it's not for human consumption yet.
And for those Apple historians around, Firefox or Mozilla have also announced that they're no longer going to support the PowerPC architecture in Firefox anymore.
So no more, if you've got one of the old, the PowerPCs, they were ages ago, weren't they?
Yes, it's only been about 10 years, but
no more PowerPC support.
I still have one.
Do you?
My server's a PowerPC. Yeah.
But you've got lots of other things you can't use too, haven't you? So don't worry about it. It'll just move on into the elms of antiquities.
That's right.
Really, won't it?
It won't run on an Apple IIe either.
That's true. Although I have had an Apple IIe connected to the internet.
What about a Newton?
Yeah, I've got a Newton.
I know you have.
What happened when you connected Firefox on it? An Apple IIe to the internet?
You can only see text. There's no graphics, but that's okay.
Dear. Andrew, there are a lot of fake Firefox applications for free with a varying levels of customer satisfaction rating. There's one called Fake Mozilla Firefox, one called Fake Firefox, one just called Firefox, which is a fake, and a number of others. I won't install any of those. I suspect you have to go to the Mozilla website if you're a developer and you're interested in setting it up.
Mm.
Probably a good thing.
What's your browser of choice these days? I haven't asked this question for a while.
On my PC, Chrome, my browser of choice, unless I'm using eBay, in which case I have to use Firefox because Chrome doesn't handle a lot of the things that eBay does.
Really? Are you a big eBayer, are you?
Oh, not a big eBayer, but I have been known to buy and sell things on eBay, and I keep an eye on it. Graham's going to go to eBay on Chrome.
See
what doesn't work.
What breaks on...
If you go in, if you're wanting to list things and you go into sell items, there are the little applets that eBay uses. Do you know the ones I'm talking about, JD? If you're wanting to, for example, upload pictures or upload information, in Chrome it's all broken and it looks horrible.
Okay.
But in Firefox it renders perfectly.
Curious.
It's funny, isn't it? Certain websites are built for certain technologies. Like I know the Telstra site you can only really view on Internet Explorer. If once you get into your billing section, because otherwise it puts text all over the screen on top of other text and you just can't read it.
That's right, that's right.
So in this day and age, you really do need to have all the browsers really installed on your device, otherwise there'll be something that you can't use. Although I believe Safari works pretty well on everything, doesn't it?
Well, I use Safari while I'm here on my laptop, and I use Firefox at home on my Macs, and at work I'm sort of locked into IE. I can't do anything else.
Which version? 6?
No, it's not as bad as Dr. Ron's company.
Yeah. Oh, well, there you go. Google also, they had a bit of a spam issue with some of their Gmail thing during the course of the week too. I don't know whether you heard about that, but they've reassured Gmail users that their emails will not continue to be resent over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, sure.
That's a tad embarrassing, really, isn't it?
What happened?
Well, apparently, since Tuesday, dozens of Google's webmail customers have complained about emails being resent without their command.
I use Gmail a lot, and I didn't have any problems like that.
Maybe you didn't have English American selected.
No, I didn't. Almost certainly did not.
Anyway, Google said they found a problem, the root cause, but warned that Groundhog Day might come round at least one more time. So watch out. Sending those emails out there.
Groundhog Day.
They might come out a bit more. Also, Google have significantly enhanced their real-time search. Did you notice?
No.
Yeah. That's the thing. We all take it for granted.
What's real-time
search? What's enhanced about it?
That's when you're typing and it tries to complete the words that you're typing.
Well, Google has launched a dedicated page for its real-time search, with internet giant claiming the significant enhancements that they've brought they're using in content and things like that. Google's real-time search, which arrived at the end of last year, is one of the most significant changes the company has made to its search, recognizing the growing importance the likes of Twitter feeds. So they're basically searching.
So it's incorporating brand new results straight into
into the search results.
Yeah.
So tweet it and seek it, and she'll be found with a bit of luck if you're a reputable tweeter, maybe. So they're doing all that sort of stuff. So Google just keeps on keeping on. They've got phones now. They've given up on the wave.
How do we follow you on Twitter if we don't already do so and we'd like to?
Come to the Tech Talk Radio website is probably the easiest way.
That's a good answer. There's all the links there.
And all the links are there for all of the Tech Talk panelists. And
that applies to phone numbers, forums, chat links,
anything
everything.
To do with us. It's all on the Tech Talk. TechTalkRadio.com.au.
Now, maybe I've been under a rock, but what happened to the Chrome operating system?
Hang on, we're going back a section. Isn't that Android, the sort of...
No. There was going to be a Chrome operating system for PCs.
There was.
And netbooks.
Yes. Yes, maybe it's gone the way of the wave.
Mm. I don't know where we are with that. We haven't heard for a while from Google about the Chrome OS. It was going to be for netbooks and notebooks, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yes, it was designed to stop, you know, all that thing where it loaded up drivers and loaded up this and loaded
instant
up that.
Instant on and through the internet.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I think they put all their energies into phones. Mm. And that's
Wiki says it's still an upcoming Linux-based open source system.
That's according to Wikipedia,
Yes. So still in development, JD, potentially.
Okay. Mm. What's your space?
Yes, very much the case. But if it goes longer than 12 months, it's probably not a good space to watch the way that they get rid of some of their projects. Finally, before we go to the Oddspot gadget and website of the week, Gartner, one of the big research firms, has said there's going to be a Windows 7 skills shortage very shortly, if there isn't already. What they're saying is that they've warned organizations to expect a rise in IT labor costs, pushing a rush on Windows 7 migrations commencing in 2011. Demand for highly qualified Windows 7 migration skills will exceed supply and lead to higher service rates. So what do you reckon, Graham? You reckon
get on down to XCOM and get your quality. Oh, that won't work, will it? No, damn.
This is come in, Graham.
You're
all Microsofted up with your qualifications.
You've got your MSCE or whatever they call it, isn't it? Mm. What's the qualification? You're an exchange guru now.
Technology specialist, MCTS, Certified right. Technology Specialist.
So if you need one of those,
2007 configuring.
Come to the Tech Talk site and email Graham. Give him a job. You need a guru? There's one here. He's ready and waiting to be a guru.
I was a certified netware administrator once, but there's not much call for that anymore.
No, you won't be using that any time soon, will you?
I don't. Not anymore. No, that's a bit sad, isn't it? Oh, well.
I remember netware.
Netware.
I think I burned all my
netware.
My netware manuals. A ritual, yes.
Disposing.
Disposing.
Mm. One of those sacrificial things.
Destruction party. Of it.
Oh, look, it's funny when technology goes by the wayside. We don't sort of deliberately go, well, that's the end of that. We just disappears. It becomes a footnote in the history of technology, doesn't it?
It does. Yes,
netware. It does. You search for that on Google and it'll come up something. You know.
It's gone the way of WordPerfect 5.1.
Thank goodness.
Oh, that was a great...
X3 Gold?
And X3 Gold, yes.
And thick wire Ethernet. Mm.
Oh, the coax. Remember the old 50 ohm
Ethernet? Yeah, used to look after netware networks on thick wire Ethernet.
Mm. I've got thick wire at home still.
JD!
Thick wire? Is it in your museum or is it in use?
It was in use.
Or both?
Yeah, both.
Oh. You should reminisce about some of the old things. You got an 8.25-inch floppy drive still? 5.5-inch maybe?
I never had an 8-inch one. I had a 5.25-inch one. No, I don't have one anymore. No.
I opened up the laundry cupboard the other day and found a whole heap of 3.5-inch floppies. I said, what do you do with these?
You put them in the bin.
You do. But they were unopened, never used.
You put them in the bin.
Send them to a museum somewhere. I think, do you want them, JD?
I'll have them. Yeah.
I thought you might.
Dear, now Warlock in our chat room says Token Ring. I used to look after Token Ring networks
as well. What's Token Ring? I remember
Token
that too.
Ring was an someone correct me if I'm wrong, network. An IBM topology. It was a proprietary network topology where every computer was connected to the next computer beside it and it formed a big circle. Yeah. And if the ring was broken anywhere, all the computers would stop working. The network would come crashing down.
It's a bit like taking the light out in the Christmas tree lights. One light out, all out.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, good. That was Token Ring.
Had these weird double ganger sockets in the walls. Yeah.
And you still see them around in old buildings. And they've been like disused and cut off and they're no longer operating. But you do see them in the walls and think, oh, there's an old Token Ring port in the wall there. How embarrassing. And they used to have Token Ring hubs. Like we have 5-port or 8-port hubs now. You'd have Token Ring hubs and they were the size of that CD player there beside you, Andrew. They were enormous.
Yeah, whatever happened to records? That's what I want to know. Oh, there's still a few around, isn't there? And then cassettes, 8-tracks. Oh, we could go back. We should do a reminiscence.
A retro show. Tech Talk retro.
I bought a good turntable not long ago, so I'd have a,
Has it got a USB connector on it?
I was going to ask you exactly the same thing.
No, it hasn't got a USB. It's a proper turntable. It wasn't a $10 turntable from, Coles. It was
eBay.
It's just a proper, it's a proper turntable.
Oh, good.
With,
Have you got records?
Yeah.
Really? Vinyl? Oh,
yeah,
I remember
I've
that.
I've still got my vinyl records.
Yeah. Mm. Good. What do you do with them? Do they sit in the corner? Because they're heavy things.
I do a bit, but it's my justification for downloading the music online.
Oh, very good. You actually bought it. You do it. All right, Oddspot website gadget of the week coming up after this. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Suffering and sucky tash. This has to be the best technology show on the internet. Tech Talk Radio.
Remember when Tech Talk Radio first hit the airwaves some 5-odd years ago? Listeners could ring up and say their bit. Remember that? Well, it's back.
The Tech Talk Radio feedback line has risen from the ashes. So if you have a comment, criticism, correction, or you just plain want to get it off your chest, then start dialing 03-8682-8836. The Tech Talk Radio feedback line is your direct line to being heard by millions of Tech Talk listeners around the planet. So get dialing 03-8682-8836. That's 03-8682-8836. Call now.
But we've run out of steak knives.
I'm not sure that they're driving competition out of the whole marketplace.
Well, no, they won't take a definitive stance on that either.
You don't win elections, you lose them.
Who's in the limelight for all the wrong reasons is the question.
Oh, but that's great. That's outside Australia.
Lots of girls on the floor there doing development.
Flash is available for free, and I can develop on it for free, can I?
No.
Most modern name servers dealt with that without even blinking.
Entertaining.
That's very hard to do when it's...
It really is hard to
simulate it.
Informative.
It's a glorified phone, but it's...
Independent.
That's their own stupidity.
That's exactly right.
I agree.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
See, there's some things you just got to do on...
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
In this house, we obey the laws of thermodynamics!
Cool! Interesting! Tech Talk Radio's Gadget of the Week.
The Third Space Gaming Vest is made for hardcore first-person shooters the world over. It uses 8 pneumatic cells, which let PC gamers feel bullets, explosions, and punches while they're playing their computer games.
I'll lend you some kids. 5-year-old and 8-year-olds are pretty good at that.
The vest's impact-generating technology utilizes a lightweight and durable air compressor to fire the 8 fully customizable pneumatic cells, with each cell capable of delivering up to 10 pounds of force. The pneumatic cells fire at their own rate, force, and duration, allowing the wearer to feel a wide array of sensory experiences, from crushing explosions to fear-inducing finger taps. Oh, imagine that. You're trying to creep up on somebody, you feel a tap on your shoulder. Oh, easy installation. Just install a driver, plug the vest into an available USB port, and off you go. Popular games that support the vest include compatible versions of Call of Duty 2, 4, and World at War, BioShock, Doom 3, Half-Life 2, Medal of Honor, Airborne, Quake, and World of Warcraft, and many
more. Have you got the new World of Warcraft yet, Dr. Ron?
Not yet, no.
Are you going to get it? No.
Oh, the new StarCraft.
StarCraft, yeah, that's the one.
It's available in small, medium, and large, and black or camouflage, available online. God. For $186 Australian at skycomp.com.au. That's our gadget, Andrew. The Third Space Gaming Vest.
Here it is, everybody. The world's greatest website.
Tech Talk Radio Website of the Week.
This is a pearler. Have a look at www.stitcher.com. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.com. During the week, I received this correspondence from Robbie. I'll speak quickly because I know I ran out of time. Can you please get your podcast listed on Stitcher? A bunch of us tech nerds here in Melbourne use Stitcher on our Android phones.
And the answer to the question is yes.
And some iPhone users. And he's disappointed off. I changed another word he had there. He had something off.
Yeah.
He's disappointed off that he can't listen, to Tech Talk Radio on it. He's not plugging it for monetary gains or other reasons, just that he said it's the first software we've come across. We don't have to be Stephen Hawking to know how to drive it. Well, Robbie, we don't want to disappoint the crew, as you call them. This is a great audio streaming website, full-blown interfaces for desktop PC as well as iPhone, Android, Palm, BlackBerry devices. You can search categories, select programs, start streaming to your mobile device. So instead of having podcasts, you just go to Stitcher and you start streaming over the mobile phone network. You listen to your favourite podcasts, just stream it directly to the device.
It's a good idea, isn't it?
It's a great idea. You can rate programs, you can have favourites, you can share them with friends, do whatever you like. Best of all, it's free. As far as Tech Talk Radio is concerned, watch this space. We're making inquiries.
Inquiries have been made. It will be happening shortly.
www.stitcher.
We're just going to read the fine print.
.com.
There is a fine line between genius and madness.
Missed it by that much.
I know nothing. Nothing.
Don't ask. For God's sakes, don't ask.
Houston, we have a problem.
The Odd Spot on Tech Talk Radio.
A 19-year-old man who robbed a bank in Germany would have got away with it had he not taunted police via email for publishing an incorrect description of him. He sent the messages, not realising that emails could be traced. Authorities in the southern city of Würzburg said on Wednesday last week that the bandit sent emails to police and two newspapers to point out factual errors in the report of his bank raid. According to the Daily Bild...
Who did he send the emails to?
He sent emails to the police and to newspapers.
Correct the misinformation.
And he mocked police. He mocked them, Andrew, for getting his age, height and accent wrong, and pointed out that he escaped in a car, actually, not on foot. Police traced his emails and arrested him. Just a few hours later, a police spokesperson said the man was completely shocked when he was arrested. That's our odd spot, Andrew.
I'm sure he was very pleased, though, to have set the record straight.
We can't have factual errors in police reporting.
Police bulletins and Crime Stoppers alerts and such things.
No, I read one during the week, and I don't want to steal your thunder, but there were a couple of girls.
No, that was going to be next week.
Okay, well, I won't steal it then. Watch your space. The next week's odd spot's a doozy as well, but anyway.
We've got a database of odd spots and a database of gadgets and websites, and we use them when we can. We save some for rainy days.
We do. Sometimes. We try to. All right. Yes. You've been listening to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andrew McComb. Dr. Ron, are you next week? Or you're right for next week? JD, what about you?
No, I'll be here.
Fantastic. Yeah. We have Microsoft in, if we can read the diary correctly. I think it's in on the 6th. Well, so
people queued up out in the hallway.
Absolutely. And
I might be here too.
You come, Graham and I, we're always here, aren't we? Absolutely. All right, don't forget, come and say hello to us, chat.techtalkradio.com.au, while we're live to air, which is every Monday night around 8:30 in the Eastern Australian time zone. Looking forward to daylight saving. That's not far off now, is it? It's only
I could have slowed down.
You could have. I was racing. I'm feeling, can you tell?
Yeah, well, in a nice way, but you are. Yes, no, we're going to have make inquiries with Stitcher to try and get the podcast listed there so you can
I'm still
stream.
Playing with their website. It looks interesting. They seem
you
to
should
have some
try it on the Droid. It's really good.
While you're waiting for Tech Talk Radio to appear, have a look for Radio Lab. Interesting podcast if you American NPR program.
Well, right. Leo Laporte's This Week in Tech and other programs are all listed there. Have a look, Andrew. Thank you.
Time to push the button. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye. See you next week. Bye-bye. Bye now.
You've been listening to Tech Talk Radio, brought to you each and every week by a group of dedicated professionals from within the media, broadcasting, IT and telecommunications industries. The team consists of executive producer Andrew McComb, producer Dr. Ron, panellists Justin Dunlop, Graham Callaghan and Mark Diggins, expert opinion from Adam Turner, and our US correspondent is Lydia Davis. Post-production facilities courtesy of Evolving Communications, podcast production by Graham Callaghan. Tech Talk Radio is broadcast, recorded and streamed live to the world each and every Monday night at 8 p.m. from the studios of 3WBC. The crew wish to thank all the stations around Australia that take the show. Tech Talk Radio is available for syndication on your local station. For sponsorship and advertising, call 03 9818 2756 or visit our website techtalkradio.com.au for more information. This has been a production of Tech Talk Radio Vic and is subject to copyright and applicable laws and may not be rebroadcast without approval.